Hello and welcome to another podcast at NSH this year. This is Linda McDonald and I'm here with Lily Guevara and we're going to talk about her poster. Hi Lily, how's it going?
Hi Linda, thank you so much for having me on your podcast.
Thank you. So tell me first, what poster you submitted this year and why did you select that topic?
My poster is P20. It's titled Leveraging Preprocessor Scanning to Improve Patient Safety, Quality, and Lean Workflow in the Anatomic Pathology Lab. We chose it because we wanted to improve the gap between the our grossing bays and embedding. We wanted to keep track of our samples as they were going through the lab. And we thought that was a great place to keep track of them because it's kind of a black box. We might have an idea of what we put in, but it might not always match up with what comes off of our processors.
Yeah, that intermediary of what's on the processor and what comes off and what gets embedded can often create some issues.
Yes.
So what's the first thing you want people to see and notice about your poster?
If they had a chance to look at my poster, it would be the three examples that I give of using our Hydra system and how it helped. The Hydra system was set so it could keep track of our samples in between that space. And we had three events where one was we had a cassette missing at pre-processing. And I was a lab aide at the time. Well, I am a grossing tech, but I have lab aide experience on night shift. Uh-huh. And I was asked to help out on the send out table because we were short staffed. And so I went to the send-out table. I noticed there was a case. It was incomplete. I went to our tracking system. I noticed the cassette was last tracked into the grossing bay. And so now that we had our new data system from Hydra, I decided to type in the case number in our system. And I was able to see a picture of how I had loaded it. And I had all of the case except for that missing cassette that we didn't have at the send-out table. And so that let me know that somewhere between the grossing bay and the processor, before the processor, I had missed a block. So we next went through our video camera and tracked it from the grossing bay onto the processor and noticed that in one of those, as I was handling all our cassettes and transferring over, I had five at a time and they slipped out of my hand. And one of them ended up behind my little gross tray in my grossing bay. And that stuff happens. I hate to say it, but it's a very dark sinking feeling, but it happens in labs. And we went to my gross bay and there it was. And we went ahead and processed the cassette. We were happy to find it. Of course, we had compromised patient tissue, but it saved hours of time. It was around a net time of 20 minutes of searching as opposed to probably much more time had we not had the system. So that's just one example. If you guys have a chance to look at my poster, please look at the examples because I think so many people can relate to how we end up losing blocks in the lab. It really isn't intentional. It's always on accident or for sure. And I think more so right now with an AP shortage, everyone's feeling overwhelmed.
Right.
And
doing more with less.
Yes. And we're not focused as we probably should.
Well, the thing I like about what you said is the fact that you have a camera. I recently retired, and for years at embedding and at grossing, we've asked to have cameras. And we're not trying to be, secret and I don't know what word I'm looking for. But just knowing that you can go back to that and you being able to see that, because you're right. You're sitting there and you're like, okay, I know I had it. The block was here. Now where do we go? Is it on the floor before it got to the processor? Is it on the floor in the grossing area?
Yes, exactly.
Did something happen to it when it got out of the processor? So I appreciate that fact that you said you have cameras, and I want to know what kind of cameras, and I'm going to talk to you later.
Thank you.
Okay. So when you were doing this, did you find anything that surprised you about the research that you came up with through this whole investigational situation.
Yes. So I learned more about how other labs keep track of their samples throughout that process. If they have a tracking spot between the growth space and embedding, and most of it was a paper trail, which it can be, there's cons to that, of course.
The one that the formalin spilled on and now all the ink removed.
Handwriting, yes. Yeah, all of that. And it was nice to learn about how others have other different methods. Of course, it might not be working for them anymore. It might still be working, but I think the whole point of the poster that I would like to bring is considering expanding in that area. How is it in your lab? What methods are you using? You might not necessarily want to use the Hydra system itself, but go ahead and start considering, is there something that we can do to keep better track of our cassettes from grossing and embedding?
Right. So. Well, we had recently gone to Beaker, and with Beaker, we could scan every cassette and know what processor it was going into. So that was a step, but it certainly wasn't the finalized step, because taking it off the processor, like you say, those cassettes are slippery, and bam, you lost one. There was one day, we searched forever, and this is the embedding station. I know you guys on the podcast can't see this. There was a cupboard here, and it was stuck to a bag of paraffin up in this cupboard. I thought it was kind of fishy overall, but that's just me. So, all right, so when you did this poster, was there anything that happened that you didn't expect to happen?
Actually liking it, actually liking the system. When I first had it into implementation, well, I should backtrack a little. How we tracked of our cassettes before loading was through a digital camera. We just took a picture and that was it. It took seconds. I loved it. And then once my lab manager suggested we use a Hydra system and had me implement it into my workflow, I was like, I don't like this. I don't see myself liking this for a very long time. It was very time consuming at first.
It was changed.
I was used to the old way, and she was like, trust me, there's a lot of benefits to it, but I was the main one affected by it because I was the main one loading onto our processor, so it affected my workflow. But now I actually like it, and I actually understand the benefit that it has. It might not be on a daily use where we see a benefit, where we might lose a cassette and might need to look for it, but it's worth it because it saves so much time if it does, and it adds an extra layer of security for the cassettes and for ourselves as we're working.
It's like you say, nobody comes to work planning to have something go awry that day. We want everything as smooth as possible so we can get out of there when we need to get out of there. But I completely understand what you're saying. So for next year's poster, as a follow-up project, what do you think you might want to do?
I've thought about it. This was the hardest question, I think. For sure improving it, figuring out how to improve it, how to connect LIS system to it. That way you only have one site to track it all, instead of just looking on the Hydra system and then looking at whatever other tracking system.
So you're not
system.
Interfaced yet?
Yeah.
Okay.
But you can be, but it depends on the LIS system, I believe.
Yeah,
and
the LIS systems can give us a lot of, as great as they are, when they come to working with, what do they call them, like secondary systems or things, they're not the most friendly in the sandbox kind of things.
Yeah, and I would like to see if maybe we could also connect them with the processors. That way we could have that information of the processors. One of the problems that I have, and I've talked to the developers of the system, is I need the retort to be available, and it might look like it is. It's clean, there's nothing on it, but when I actually go load and I've already assigned a rack to that processor, to a retort, I can't load because as I try and load the protocol, it tells me, oh, an alcohol needs to be changed. and I'm like, well, dang, I already assigned this process or this retort, but I've asked if we can add a modifying, if I can go back and edit, because at the moment I can't edit. Of course, take in mind, this is the first, it's in its first conception. Yeah. So there is going to be improvements that can be done, but as a user, that would be very beneficial. Or even because I make mistakes,
right,
I might assign it to the wrong retort, or I might choose the wrong protocol. Again, going back to AP shortages, I might feel overwhelmed that day because someone's not there and I might depend on them, and I'm feeling pressure for that day. So
there's nothing worse trying to load the processor and all of a sudden something comes up at you, because you're in that mode. You want to get it done and get everything in there. Now it's like, stop. Okay, where's the alcohol? Okay, let's change this. So, integrating. Well, that sounds like that'll be a great poster for us to look for next year. We really want to thank you for putting a poster together for NSH this year. We appreciate it. And since we've been having on-site conventions again, we've seen the numbers have an uptick in them. So we're looking for more posters. So please send all you want.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.